You are given an ECG, which shows a fast rhythm with a wide QRS complex. You don't see P waves. As you contemplate whether the rhythm represents ventricular tachycardia or an SVT with either pre-existing bundle branch block or aberrant conduction as the cause of QRS widening, the question arises as to whether you need to immediately cardiovert the patient. Is there time for getting a 12-lead ECG and then for a trial of one or more antiarrhythmic drugs? Or should you immediately treat with synchronized or unsynchronized electricity? Simply stated, the answer depends most on whether the patient is or is not hemodynamically stable. So, what do we mean by this catchword phrase? How to determine if a patient with a cardiac arrhythmia is hemodynamically stable? First, to emphasize that criteria for determining whether a cardiac rhythm is hemodynamically significant hold true regardless of whether the rhythm in question is slow or fast. In either case, a rhythm is said to be hemodynamically significant if it produces signs or symptoms of concern as a direct result of the rate, be the rate fast or slow, where signs of concern include hypotension, which is generally thought to imply that blood pressure is less than 80 to 90 systolic. Other signs of concern could include heart failure, especially if there is pulmonary edema, and/or signs of acute ischemia or infarction. Symptoms of concern could include chest pain, shortness of breath, and/or impaired mental status. To emphasize, the definition of hemodynamic stability is equally applicable for supraventricular tachyarrhythmias as it is for VT. That is, the patient with a fast supraventricular tachycardia who is clearly symptomatic, let's say hypotensive, short of breath, confused, this patient is in need of immediate synchronized cardioversion, regardless of whether the rhythm is VT or SVT. In contrast, a trial of medical therapy may be justified if the patient is stable. Caveats. Sometimes you just have to be there. For example, despite a blood pressure of less than the usually accepted lower BP limit of 80 systolic, you might not necessarily need to cardiovert such a patient with tachycardia who was otherwise tolerating the rhythm well, that is, without chest pain, shortness of breath, or confusion. Remember, some patients may remain hemodynamically stable for not only minutes, but hours, and on occasion, even for a day or more, despite being in sustained VT. Treat the patient, not the rhythm. And sometimes you just got to be there in order to know if cardioversion is or is not urgently needed. Note, a key component to assessment of the patient with tachycardia will be trying to determine if it is the rate of the rhythm that is causing the patient to be unstable or whether instability is a result of the patient's underlying condition. For example, consider the case of AIVR, that is accelerated idioventricular rhythm, occurring at a rate of, say, 110 to 120 per minute. Even though AIVR is a ventricular rhythm, a rate of less than 120 per minute or so is usually not fast enough to produce hemodynamic instability. On the other hand, loss of the atrial kick that may occur in association with AIVR rates slower than this in a patient who has underlying ventricular dysfunction may clearly be enough to precipitate symptomatic hypotension. Pearl. In general, if the rate of a tachycardia is less than 140 to 150 per minute, it will be less likely that hemodynamic instability will be the result of the rate. Exceptions to this generality do exist, such as the occurrence of VT at a rate of 130 per minute in a patient with underlying heart disease, as this relatively slower VT could precipitate hemodynamic compromise. But the key point is that when your patient with a ventricular rhythm at 100 per minute is found to be hypotensive, attempting to cardiovert this patient out of this rhythm may not necessarily be helpful. Caveat, don't cardiovert sinus tachycardia. This might be easier said than done. At rates of 150 or so per minute, sinus P waves may be partially or even totally hidden within the preceding T waves. The treatment of choice for sinus tachycardia is to identify and treat the underlying cause. Cardioversion won't help. So it's important to be aware of the possibility of sinus tachycardia when faced with a regular SVT rhythm in which P waves are absent. A tip-off for identifying sinus tachycardia is that the rate of this rhythm tends to slow down or speed up depending on whether the patient is getting better or worse. And when the rhythm slows down a little bit, sinus P waves will often emerge from where they were hiding within the preceding T wave. At the other extreme, that is for bradycardia, realize that a rate as slow as 30 per minute will not necessarily cause symptoms. If the situation is non-acute, treatment with atropine, epinephrine, or dopamine may cause more harm than good. Instead, careful observation may be all that is needed. In contrast, other patients may be symptomatic with much less severe bradycardia, for example, if baseline BP is low or if there is ischemia or heart failure. Bottom line, there are no magic numbers for declaring that a patient is hemodynamically unstable. Instead, this determination is a clinical process to be based on ongoing assessment of the patient by the clinician on the scene. Often, you just got to be there to make the determination that the patient is in need of immediate treatment because they are symptomatic as a direct result of an excessively fast or extremely slow heart rate.